So there's a wife, she's noticed that her husband is sound asleep with his head underneath a pillow. And she startles him and she says, "Wake up, wake up. You're not going to be able to breathe with your head underneath your pillow." And he says, "Oh, but I was having the best dream ever." And she said, "Well, what were you dreaming about?" And he said, I was dreaming that the tooth fairy had returned all my teeth. I know, right? But nothing can be better and more enjoyable than a deep sleep, right? Oh, it's supposed to make us healthier and better, and we're supposed to feel better. When we wake up in the morning after a good night's sleep, we have a smile on our face, and I see a lot of smiles out there this morning, so hopefully that means you all slept really well. But I want to tell you the story about another dream. It comes from Scripture. It's in Matthew's Gospel. It's chapter 1. I'm going to start off with verses 18 and 19 and read those to you. It's the story of the birth of the Messiah. So if you have your Scripture, you can read along. Along with me, Matthew 1, verse 18 and 19. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. Oh, he's ready to just walk away. Now let's go to Matthew 20 and verse 25 and hear about Joseph's dream. But just when he had resolved to do this, dismiss Mary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." I'm going to keep reading. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him," it's up here, "Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Amen. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took as his wife, her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many of you think you've ever had an angel come to you in a dream? Maybe you have. I haven't. And well, of course, Joseph did. And I find it very interesting how first thing they do, they say, "Joseph, don't be afraid." What happens when someone says to you, "Don't be afraid"? You're afraid, right? Have you ever had a conversation that started with, "Now don't get mad," right? I remember my son came to me one day. He says to me, "Mom, it's not my fault. I wasn't driving fast." Okay, of course, your heart starts pounding, right, at this point. "I was paying attention. The music in the car wasn't that loud." And finally I said, "What happened?" He said, "I went over a speed bump and there's something wrong with the car." Yeah, he cracked the axle. But everybody is fine. And how was I supposed to get really upset with him or mad at him? Because I've done the same thing, right? I remember that conversation, and Mom never hears my sermons before this, so here it goes. I'm coming out. Mom, I called her from school. I was on my way to school. I was in 12th grade high school. I said, "Mom, on the way to school on that two-lane road, I was kind of going around a car, and I overcompensated. You know, I'm driving that Ford Mustang with that V8 engine, right?" "And I kind of went up a guide wire on the telephone. You know, there's telephone poles. They have wires. Yeah, my car was like this at an angle. I didn't know what to do. I just put it in reverse and went back to school, went on to school. But I knew that my mother, if she found out from anybody other than me, I would be dead. So, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I had to get on the phone, and back then we didn't have cell phones, so I had to call from the church, for the school, office and say, "Mom, this is what happened." But of course, we've had those conversations with people, right? And we think, oh, no problem. But this is how the conversation starting with an angel in a dream with Joseph. Don't be afraid. Well, let me tell you something. When God calls you or asks you to do something that starts with the words, do not be afraid, you should be afraid. Because whatever's going to follow is going to make you anxious. It's going to challenge you, and it's going to involve risks. In fact, God often calls us to do the very thing that we don't want to do. And I've never seen an angel, as I said, in a dream or in person even, for that matter. But I do believe that there are angels among us. I do believe that you are the angel to someone else. And I believe that there are people who challenge us to do things that are outside of our comfort zone. The author of this series that we're doing, Faithful, is Adam Hamilton. He's a United Methodist minister in the Kansas City area. Go Chiefs, right? Yay. Oh, I love them. So, it's kind of interesting. So he was asked to go to Africa, and he's like, no, I don't want to go to Africa, by a woman in his church. But he took the 22-hour flight and the 4 hours into the backlands of South Africa, and he met wonderful people, and he brought back a joy that was outside of his comfort zone. And now that church is involved in ministry to Malawi and Zambia and South Africa. But it was outside his comfort zone. And I remember it's kind of the same thing when you go to new places where there's new food and new traditions and new ways of doing things. And it's hard sometimes, but yet we can find joy in that process of learning something new, right? Angels can be the very people that are sitting next to you. They're the people that will ultimately, no matter what you're doing, will bring you joy in the doing. So why did the angel say to Joseph, don't be afraid? Well, it wasn't that he feared this angel coming to him. After all, Mary had Gabriel show up at her door. But Joseph just had this angel come to him in a dream. And as he was dreaming, and they said, don't be afraid, Joseph, I think what he was really afraid of is the fact that this angel was saying, you're on a special mission. And you're going to take Mary as your wife, and you're going to raise a child that's not your own. That's a bigger challenge, right? I know what it was like having my son's dog at our house for 2 weeks, a week during Thanksgiving. It's a lot. But the challenge of complying to this angel's request, it must have made Joseph, this humble carpenter, anxious. But Mary, who's with child, is with child with the Son of God. And this child that he's going to raise that's not his own is God himself in the flesh. That he's going to come and he's going to save the world from our sins. And he's saying, don't be afraid, Joseph. My saving plan for the entire world is going to be entrusted to your care. Now that sounds like a huge responsibility, doesn't it? Don't be afraid. It seems to be one of the most common recorded statements by God himself within the Bible, that God so frequently has to tell us to not be afraid. But once again, a reminder that God, when he calls you, when he asks you to do something, it's not for the faint of heart. I mean, God called Moses and he said to Moses, hey, I want you to go back to Pharaoh. I know you murdered someone, but I still want you to go back, and you may be put in prison for the rest of your life. But I want you to go back, and I want you to be a part of this new mission to bring the people of Israel out of slavery. That's a big task. And here's this 80-year-old man who's saying to God, are you kidding me? Actually, I think the words were, please, send somebody else, that Moses says. Send somebody else. I don't want to do it. But like Moses, it's our nature to make up excuses and to raise objections. No, God, not me. Not me. Likewise, here's God. He's being asked by Joseph to not do something very ordinary. And it's not a very small thing to raise a child, to protect them, to nurture them, especially one that's not your own, especially one that's going to save the entire world. You talk about feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders. But God, he knew Joseph could handle it, because God is with us. God's with you. No matter how terrifying something might be, God is with you. When we go out and we make the world a different place through our actions, God's with us. When we walk into this sanctuary, God is with us. So let me ask you, have you ever felt God asking you or calling you to do something that scared you a little bit? Maybe? Well, if you haven't, it's probably because you haven't been paying attention, because I believe God's called every one of you to do something outside the ordinary. Years ago, I felt that I was called into ministry, and I said, no, God, that's not for me. And I was really involved in the church. I sang in the choir. I was involved in United Methodist Women. I was so involved at the time. But I didn't want to change my life in a different way than that. But then years later, God said it again. And was I afraid? Yeah, of course I was. Years later, I was now in my mid-40s, but I quit my job, a good job that had a great salary and benefits, and I packed up everything I owned in a 26-foot moving truck. I pulled my son, Justin, out of high school in the middle of ninth grade to start a brand-new profession as a minister. And the thing that was so scary about it was I wasn't that involved in church at the time. I was barely going to church on Sunday. And yet, I still felt that God was calling me to do something. And at that point in my life, it was way outside my comfort zone. But the first thing that happened is I had to get involved. I had to get involved again in leadership. And as things, the doors opened one after another, I found myself in seminary at Asbury in Orlando. And I believe that years later, God, in my saying no, he changed my heart to say yes. I think about, you know, Superman, who's here to save the planet, how those little farmers must have felt like all of a sudden with this child showing up on their farm and raising this one with power and might. Jesus Christ was like that, but he's far beyond Superman. I can't begin to share with you what that's like. To believe in a God that has that kind of power to change the world. I remember I was appointed to a church in Stewart 3 years ago, and after I moved there and my family, and we were just getting settled in. And 5 months in, the pastor and staff parish came and said, "You know what? Our finances aren't where we thought." It was a brand new position as an associate, and they said we're going to eliminate the position next year. So that meant 5 months in, I was going to have to go and move to another church, and I was heartbroken. But then they said, well, we're going to send you to a new church. It's the First United Methodist Church of Cocoa. But they've just changed the name to the Open Door United Methodist Community. Well, I got there, and just before I arrived, they changed it because they thought that that would somehow, changing the name would give them a new image and help change the church. And then 1 month before I got there, they had decided to start a third worship service. When I arrived, I asked to see the finances. Now, of course, I've got this background in finance because, see, God uses everything that we've ever done in our life for his glory. And I took a look at the finances and I thought, oh my goodness, $50,000 over budget and it's only July. And they had to make a really tough decision. What are we going to do? We can't just come up with money. So they eliminated two staff people that were part-time and two staff people that were full-time. One was there for 30 years, another one for 40 years. And then I found out that there were termites and a beam in the fellowship hall the size of these beams, and they had to fix that too and put on a whole new roof on the fellowship hall. And then Hurricane Irma came and they hit and tore the 3-ton steeple off the roof of the church, leaving a gaping hole in the sanctuary. There was mold all over the place. I had a lot of sleepless nights. That was only the first 6 months. Wow. Of course, there's difficulties. Of course, no matter where you are in your life, you've had difficulties. But when God calls you to do something and he starts with don't be afraid, yeah, you're likely to be afraid. But whatever follows, surely, that's outside your comfort zone is going to give you something beyond fear. And that's hope. 2 years ago, I could have thrown in the towel and said, forget this ministry stuff. It's just too much. I'm going to go back to my quiet little world that I lived in. But I became a minister because I understood that God needed people like myself and like you to be the light of hope in a world that is dark. Jesus Christ came to bring light into the world. And God called people like Joseph and said, hey, I need you to help Jesus. And he called disciples. Hey, he can't do it alone. As mighty as he is. God always involved all of us in that process. So let me tell you, I'm not here to fix broken roofs or toilets or finances or even broken people. I know none of us are. And we're not here to fix broken churches. That would just be counterproductive. But I'm no longer afraid to be in ministry because there is only one person that can fix it all, and that's our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes. His name is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. God is with us. And I do believe that we are the light of hope for Christ Church. And I do believe that this congregation came together, each one of you with your unique gifts and your talents, each and every single one of you. And we came together to become the body of Christ. And oh, there's a tipping point though. There's those big challenges that affect us in life. You know, like Moses having to part a sea. That's not easy. Jesus being born to Mary, and Joseph having another dream that says, take him to Egypt. Get him out of here. And then fleeing in the middle of the night. There are those things where even when Joseph wanted to walk away and quietly just leave Mary behind, God said, no, I've got something else I want you to do. I want you to go in a new direction. And at that point, when Jesus, of course, comes into our lives, when we start believing that he can change the way we are, that's when the angel that comes into your life will say, don't be afraid. You can handle more than you realize. All you have to do is say, God, I'm afraid. Or God, I can't do this alone. Or God, I'm not equipped, but I know you will bring people into my life that will help this journey that I'm on. I may not be able to do, and you fill in the blank, with whatever it is. Because God is there. God is with you. So how do I know this? Because an angel came into my life, and this person assured me that despite all my fears, that we must walk in faith and to not be afraid of the path that I was on. And my angel didn't come to me in a dream. And in fact, there are angels like that person right here and right now in this room who even a few weeks ago came up to me and said, don't be afraid. It's okay. God is with us. Trusting God despite our fears, saying yes instead of saying no when we really want to say no, will ultimately bring us joy. I know there are people whose initial reactions will be uncomfortable and unnerving, and they want to say no because of fear, whatever that might be. But you have to look at things from a different perspective, from God's perspective. And thankfully, when God gets involved and the Holy Spirit gets into your heart and your head, things begin to change. And the Holy Spirit then works within you, and eventually your fears will give way to a yes. Because now you've built up something called faith and belief that what God really is and does matters and is there, present, when we can't even see it. Today I'm going to ask you to share the light and love of hope for this church. And I'm asking you to get your head out from underneath the pillow, because let me tell you, you're not going to find your teeth, nor are you going to find that money anymore under there. But we have a dream to fulfill that God gave us, to not be afraid. This church has big plans for the coming year, and I'm excited about that because I want you to be a part of it too. And I know that it's going to be outside of our comfort zone. Anytime things change a little bit, it's outside the comfort zone. But our financial team has put this church in a great position where we have no debt and we have no deficit. Amen. But I think we can do a better job. And I think we can go outside our comfort zone and we can grow God's church. Don't be afraid. And our staff parish relations, they put together a wonderful position. They took our treasurer and they said, gave her more responsibility and said, you're going to be an administrator. And Pat is here to serve. And she's making changes and helping us get things, those little things done around the church that we tend to forget about, lights and toilet paper, things like that. But we're also hoping to hire another part-time person to come in to help develop us as new people into Christ and also help those of you who have been on this journey for a long time build a stronger and deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And our trustees, they completed a beautiful renovation of our church office. They've done an amazing job, but there's still more to be done that they'd like to do. Don't be afraid. We have amazing leaders and a brand new team's going to come together in January and a long-range planning team that's looking beyond tomorrow but into the future to where we can develop for more generations to come. People like Willow. Can you say hi? Hi. It's for her. We're here, right? It's for her generation. So we're going to get involved with the kids that come onto our campus. We have scouts that are being led here on our campus. We have children. There's 40 of them that come onto our campus that do not speak English very well that are getting tutored by people in our community. And we're going to help the New Horizons group that are here to do that too. We have lots of wonderful ideas and ways in which we can move forward. We got banners that we put up because we want to gather together. We want to serve together. We want to worship together. We want to witness to Jesus Christ together. And they're up there so that you now have a reminder of what that really means to be a part of this church. During the season of football, football. we're fighting a war, folks. The playing field, they're ready to attack. There are people out there that are saying the church is irrelevant. The church isn't worthy of people anymore. But God sent me to be a coach. I stood on the line of the football field at the Florida field as a gator getter. What was that? Well, I got to meet with recruits, and I got to sit on the field at Florida Field in the swamp at the University of Florida and talk football with college, high school students to get them to come to the University of Florida. I love football. I don't get to watch it very much, but I do. And so I believe God sent me to be the cheerleader, to be the coach, to be the one that says, hey, we can do this. It's halftime and I'm ready to pump you up. I'm ready to say, hey, let's do this. Let's do it together. Why? Because I believe that the opponent wants to break down the church and they're going to send people into the church to tear it apart. But we're not going to let them. We're going to join together. Together we're going to gather. Together we're going to serve. Together we're going to witness. Together we're going to worship. We have a mighty God. We have a mighty God. And there are more and more people that need to know that. So today I'm going to ask you to share this love of God by renewing your vow of faith. So if you would turn with me to we're going to do the Apostles' Creed. There it is, number 881. This is what we believe, and so we're going to renew that vow in what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our God, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. It would be a great joy for this congregation to also renew your vows of membership. I don't think of membership in the church like a membership of a club. We become partners together. It's my joy to remind my sisters and brothers in Christ that through your baptism, you were incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's joy and this royal priesthood that started in a lowly manger. You're all one in Jesus Christ. With joy and thanksgiving, you are members of this holy family of God. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Congregation, as members of Christ's universal church, will you be loyal to this church established by Jesus Christ? You can respond, I will. Will you do all your power and strength to strengthen its ministries here in Bonita Springs and in the world? You can respond, I will. Congregation, as partners of this church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries? And here are the five things that we ask. Will you participate with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? You can say, I will. You've just renewed your vows. That was easy, right? If you've just said them for the first time, and you're not a member of this church, you are now. The district superintendent is going to be really excited if you actually put down on your connection card that you joined the church today. I'm serious. But no, that's what it means to be a part of the church, and that's it. It's that hard. All you have to do is say yes, because God's with us, and he's going to lead us and guide us all the way. But it's not for the faint of heart. It takes courage to not be afraid. Once again, I'm asking you to share the light of love for God, his church, and pull your head out from underneath that pillow that you've been under. You have a dream that has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ, and we are to carry out that dream to the world, just like Jesus did, just like Joseph did. You too are a part of God's story, and that's history, his story. Amen.